to our Corky's Hotline. One of my favorite guests. I love having this gentleman on. He's got tremendous wisdom and knowledge of the National Football League, among other things. Great NFL writer. Got a dynamite website, talkoffamenetwork.com. We head out to the Corky's Hotline. Clark Judge joins me on the Mighty 1090. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Coach. Thanks for that intro. Wow.
Oh, hey, I got to take care of people that take care of me, don't I?
Yeah, you sure do. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Not a problem, Clark. Where would you like to start? I guess we might as well start in Philadelphia. That seems to be where a lot of the fireworks have been coming, huh?
Yeah, right. I was going to say, you probably start in Philadelphia. I'm completely revamping that team and overhaul of that ball club. A lot of moves there, but it's funny because people in and around Philadelphia wonder what's going on with Chip Kelly. I mean, he's got a plan. And I think what he did here when he shipped off LeSean McCoy and outraged people is that he's saying, listen, I'm going to bring in Kiko Alonso, essentially do a Kiko Alonso, DeMarco Murray deal for LeSean McCoy, and we're a lot better off. I think what he's trying to do here is essentially say that, or he's admitting that, listen, football is about two sides of the ball, and we haven't been playing one side very well. That's defense. We better get better, otherwise we're not going anywhere. We can break all the team records we want here and run plays as quickly as we can. It doesn't make any difference. We can't win ball games that way. So they're now going after a guy, Kiko Alonso, who I think is a terrific young player, 24 years old. I know he's coming off a serious knee injury. 2 years ago, though, this guy was lights out. He was a Defensive Rookie of the Year finalist. Really good player. He's going to help them immeasurably. On the backside, they've got Walter Thurman. They brought over from the Giants, of course. When was he last known of? It was in Seattle. They bring in not just him, but they bring in Byron Maxwell as well. Where was he last known? Seattle. Okay, now he started taking from the Seahawks because they play defense so well. He's trying to get something going on that side of the ball, and I think he's got a chance. I like what they're doing in terms of restocking that side. The one question, of course, is quarterback. I mean, Sam Bradford, your listeners don't have to hear me say it, but Sam Bradford is a huge risk. If he's okay, and they're reuniting him with the quarterback's coach that he had in St. Louis, and that was Pat Shurmur, now the offensive coordinator here, that is a marriage that worked out very well in St. Louis. They're hoping it can again. You got to keep him on the field. And maybe they're saying, with a guy like DeMarco Murray can take a lot of carries. I don't know what's Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews is going to be there or not, but they've got other people. Darren Sproles is there. Yeah, Chris Polk. People can carry the ball. They can take the pressure off of him. That's a start. Now, he's going to have to get some targets, too. I mean, Riley Cooper's there, but they've got to get some other targets for Sam Bradford. But to me, the question that all these moves is, I like it until I get to Bradford, and they go, okay, it could be good if you can keep him on the field, but he hasn't shown any reason to believe that you can.
Well, you know, a lot of people may have forgot, but Sam Bradford and DeMarco Murray were teammates at the University of Oklahoma. I wonder if Bradford did a little recruiting.
I think he did, actually, honestly. I think I saw something on Twitter about that. But, yeah, I think he did. And he should, because DeMarco Murray was a huge asset to Dallas. Look what he did for the Cowboys. He took the heat off of Tony Romo and a defense that was porous. And that's what he can do in Philadelphia. You can give the ball to him, have him kill the clock with big carries. He carries the ball 20, 25 times a game. Suddenly the quarterback doesn't have to be front and center, and the defense is getting a rest. It worked in Dallas and very effectively. Now, they had the league's best offensive line. Philadelphia can try to imitate that, and I think that's what they're doing. They're saying to get to the top here, maybe we've got to do what Dallas did and get a world's best running game and rebuild and restock that defense. We've got a chance.
Clark Judge, our guest on the Corky's Hotline on the Mighty 1090. Looks like Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones and company overplayed their hand, thinking that Murray had come back, I think, crawling to him.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's the case, Coach. I think what they're telling you is they're doing something now they haven't done in the past, and that's fiscal responsibility. They're not overspending. Listen, free agency is not about spending. It's about overspending. Everybody overspends. And the Cowboys are telling you, we're not going to do this. They brought back Doug Free. They franchised Dez Bryant. And they would have liked to have DeMarco Murray come back, and they thought they had a chance. But Philadelphia paid him more money, and Philadelphia wanted to give him 5 years. I think the Cowboys were willing to do a three-year deal, not a five-year deal, because at that point he's 32 years old, and he's a descending back, if not a retired running back. So I think they were wise here because they look at this draft and say, hey, we've got some good draft picks who are running backs. We can get one in the first or second round. I think they will. I think they believe very strongly that behind that offensive line that they can plug in one of those guys and can be an effective runner with younger legs.
How effective do you think Jimmy Graham can be working with Russell Wilson and that talented offensive unit there with Seattle?
Well, I think this guarantees next time the Seahawks are at the one-yard line, they're throwing the ball again. I think he can be very effective in that offense. I think Russell Wilson's got to love having him there. He's a great red zone target. But you've got Russell Wilson throwing to you, not Drew Brees. A little bit different, but I still think for Seattle, this is exactly what they need. But, you know, this is a team, and it doesn't mean they're a better ball club now than they were. This is a team that's in a little bit of a state of flux here because it's always been about defense and Marshawn Lynch. And slowly but surely, you've seen some of those defensive players are leaving. You know, I mentioned the cornerbacks. I mean, Thurman left a year ago. Maxwell's gone. And then you remember Malcolm Smith, the MVP of the Super Bowl 2 years ago. He's gone. He's in Oakland. Slowly but surely, these guys are beginning to you know, go other places. And offensively, I mean, it was built around Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch, the heart and soul of that ball club. But the offensive line now, they've lost two guys. Max Unger's gone. James Carpenter's gone. They're going to have to rebuild that offensive line. It's a team in a state of flux, and I'll be curious to see how it works out. Because once Jimmy Graham went there, people went, oh, my God, you know, here they go again. Well, yeah, he's a big-name player, and he's a terrific receiver when he's healthy. But when you saw him in the second half of last year when he came back, he wasn't effective. He wasn't a factor. And I realized he was handicapped, but he just wasn't much a part of that offense. And I don't – I was shocked when it happened, but when I look at what New Orleans is doing, I think they're sort of taking a page out of the Eagles' book and say, we need to play defense. We need to run the ball. We've got to take some of the pressure off of this quarterback's shoulders. He's not getting younger. He's getting older. So we re-sign our running back. Ingram's back. Okay, now we're going to rebuild our offensive line. We got an effective center here. We're going to start doing what we should have done a long time ago and filling in on defense and trying to stop people for a change rather than trying to outscore them.
Hey, getting off free agency for a moment, what was the feeling back in New York with Tom Coughlin getting an additional year added to his contract?
I think it was sort of a shrug of the shoulders, Coach, because that's what they do here. They don't let guys go into lame duck years. And I think people looked at it and said, yeah, that's what the Giants always do. I mean, 2006, remember when they finished 8-8? They were 7-8, got out of Washington. Tiki Barber has a lights-out game. They go 8-8. They made the playoffs that year, but they gave him a year's extension when people thought he was going to get fired. And they just do that. That's their nature, and that's why I like this organization. I think they do things the right way. So when it happened, I think people sort of, as I said, shrugged their shoulders and said, okay, I mean, good for them because we want him back. Tom Coughlin's very popular around here. Even though we were 6-10, there was nobody that really wanted him fired. I thought he was going to be fired after that Jacksonville game last year, not necessarily then, but at the end of the season. But somehow he withstood it, and people really admire him partly because, or mostly because, he brought him two Super Bowls.
Clark Judge, our guest on the Corky's Hotline here on the Mighty 1090. Clark, kind of an interesting week. Right when free agency was opening up, Jake Locker announces his retirement at 26 years of age. Had a hard time staying on the field. The outstanding young linebacker of Pittsburgh, James Worlds, he announces his retirement at 27. And then you had Patrick Willis and missed a lot of time last year after having toe surgery, only played in six games. He shut it down at the age 30. You know, I was saying on the show last night, I think more players are going to do this just from the simple standpoint. They want to be able to walk around when they're 35 or 40.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Cortland Finnegan retired, too. He's 31 years old.
Yeah.
And that's a guy who should be in the prime of his career, but you're right. There's four guys in 1 week. I agree with you, Coach. I think they're looking at what's going on around the league in terms of players who've left or guys who've retired, you know, years ago and suddenly see what they're suffering from, and they hear the reports of CTE and possible brain damage and concussions and the impact it can have on your long-term future. And I think they go, not for me. Listen, I get the money while I can, but I've got a second life too, and I want to live it. I want to fulfill it. So I think you see more and more of this. I think you're absolutely right. You're going to see more and more of this as time goes on because it's a brutal game. It's just a brutal game on the body. The punishment these guys incur is unbelievable. And how someone could stay around as long as, say, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, beyond me, Junior Seau. But unfortunately, look at the damage it did to Junior. And I think guys look at that and say, that's not for me. I mean, Wayne Corbett's a guy who's been around here for a long time. I talked to him a couple of years ago. He said, you know, there are times I can't remember this, I can't remember that. He suffered a lot of concussions in his career. And I think these guys, with all the information and communication about injuries and especially concussions and the impact it could have on your long-term future, are saying enough's enough.
Hey, Clark, the Chargers haven't done a lot in free agency. They've lost a couple of pretty good players, Ryan Matthews, and we know about the injuries and not being on the field. If he was productive and on the field, they'd have definitely tried to make a harder push to keep him. But Eddie Royal goes to the Chicago Bears. But what the Chargers have brought in right now, your thoughts on where they're at and where you think they may still go in free agency?
Well, and Jacoby Jones, you got a specialist who's very good. He's one of the best kick returners and punt returners, one of the best returners in the game. He doesn't have, I don't think, a lot left. And when Baltimore lets a guy walk, I'm always wary because Baltimore and Pittsburgh are two teams. So once guys are gone from there, generally they don't go on to much. I mean, I know there are aberrations. The Anquan Boldin situation is the one that comes to mind first with Baltimore. But Jacoby Jones will be an upgrade for San Diego at that position simply because they don't have great kick returners. They just don't. And he's a guy who can break a game open for you and win some ball games with some touchdowns. I like the Franklin move. You need offensive linemen, so you get Orlando Franklin in there. I especially like re-signing Brandon Flowers. You kept him off the market. Listen, I like teams that stay away from trying to make that big splash. It doesn't really seem to work, Coach. I mean, the rule is that these teams that spend and overspend don't really go anywhere. And I don't have to tell you, you remember the Eagles several years back, that dream team. But that was a real aberration for them. That was a departure from what they'd done. They brought in all these guys. It was the dream team, said Vince Young. They were going to the top. What did they do? They went 8-8 that year, winning the last four games to go 8-8. Then go 4-12 next year, and they lost to Coach Andy Reid and everyone else. Got rid of him. It doesn't work generally. I mean, think of Mike Wallace as being the top free agent a couple years ago. Now the Dolphins, you know, they're talking at one time about getting rid of him. I looked at last year, you know, when Tampa Bay brought in Johnson, the pass rusher, and they just got him. And you know, you go back to Albert Ainsworth. He got a 7-year, $100 million deal. He was a bust. So you've got to be very careful at these times. And we're all guilty of, like, after day one, day two, who's the winner, who's the loser? You're not going to learn that for a year, maybe 2 years. Listen, you know, New England last year, what'd they do? They got Brandon LaFell, you know, big deal. They got Alan Branch, big deal. Yeah, it was a big deal. They played important roles for a Super Bowl winning team. Now, it's a little bit of an aberration for them, too, because they got Tom Brady, the best quarterback in the business. But that's what they do. They make under-the-radar moves, and it works successfully, and they don't break the bank. I'm really wary of teams that break the bank. I think San Diego's playing it right at this point. I really do. At some point, yeah, you're going to have to get a running back. But as I said, I want running backs. I can get them in the draft. You know, you go back to Terrell Davis, sixth-round draft pick. Mike Anderson was a sixth-round draft pick. You know, Lonis Gary is a fourth round. They're all in Denver. But you can get guys down the road. But first, second, third round, you can have plenty of chances to get running backs with young legs and guys who will stay on the field where Ryan Matthews couldn't.
Hey, last question. Dwayne Bowe gets released today in Kansas City. Is there anything left in Dwayne Bowe? And if there is, should that be a guy the Chargers look at?
That's a good question. I'm really suspect of a guy like that. You know, he had an opportunity there, and he did nothing with it. And to me, he was hit and miss. He was sort of a streaky guy, and he dropped some balls that I just thought he wasn't a consistent performer. And he got some big money, and he didn't play up to the contract. If you could bring him at the right, you know, the right figure, yeah, he probably is worth a look. But I don't think he's a guy that I'd depend on, and a guy that, you know, is he Eddie Royal? I don't think he'd be Eddie Royal. I mean, Eddie Royal is a pretty good receiver for you last year. Is he worth a look? Yeah, he might be at this point. Maybe he's got something to prove. But I would sign him to a one-year deal at low money and take a look at him that way. But Dwayne Bowe really hurt himself there. I realize they don't have a passing offense, but he should have been more of a factor than he was. He was no factor.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. Hey, my friend, thanks so much for the time, and keep monitoring this free agency, will you?
Always a pleasure, Coach. Thank you.
There you go. Clark Judge, NFL writer, and again, I really encourage you to check out his website, talkoffamenetwork.com.